Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Joe kind of had me self-scout myself throughout the year this last week, and I came away, God, there's so much out there that I've missed, right? Whether it's getting a little lazy with my feet and not taking a check down and maybe instead trying to force something downfield, or throwing the ball away, not taking sacks and allowing us to be in field goal range, and there's still so much room to improve. And I think I just have this extra emphasis, like I said, on points at a premium in the playoffs and just trying to do everything I can to give us points.
Yeah, that's the quote I was talking about earlier. I really like that from Josh Allen. I think that's very self-reflective. You know, we see it, right? We're like, why did Josh run around back there like that and take that sack? Just throw it away. And, you know, sometimes these guys are so caught up in each game and game planning. Yes, they go back and review film, but they're not digging into the details as much in the past game as they might be looking ahead to the next game. And last week, he was able to kind of take a mental break away from game planning because he knew he wasn't actually going to play very much. He took the one snap and was able to self-reflect and self-scout. And I love what I hear there, which is, yeah, sometimes trying to push the ball down the field a little too much when I should just take the check down. Sometimes not throwing the ball away, and I took a sack. Takes us out of field goal range. I think you'll see a different Josh Allen this week in that regard. I do, because I think Josh has always been really good at that sort of thing, which is kind of correcting and fixing when things like that happen. Bills, Jags, Sunday at 1 p.m., Pat Hammer will tell us the weather for those of you traveling down. Maybe you're down there already somewhere in the southeast. You're going to the game. And we'll also take a look around the NFL and other games going on. But first, let's get to Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott for his weekly radio appearance here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Friday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, West New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. Now, here's Sal Capaccio with Buffalo Bills head coach, Sean McDermott.
And we welcome in Sean McDermott on the Western Hotline. Sean, good morning. Welcome to a Buffalo Football Playoff Friday here on WGR.
Good morning, Sal. Great to be with you guys and looking forward to our weekend here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's just reflect on last week a little bit, Coach. Last game at Highmark Stadium. How cool and special was everything from really the send-off of the stadium, the big win, obviously, for your team, and what happened kind of afterwards with everybody sticking around and enjoying the festivities?
Oh, man, once-in-a-lifetime situation, once-in-a-lifetime experience. Couldn't have asked for a better night, you know, just with the environment, the fans, the outcome of the game, and then just, you know, to watch the people hang around, like you said, and sharing the experience, sharing the moment together, just kind of freeze time for a little bit there. Truly special.
And then your team wins the game, and you got to sit around on Sunday night and kind of watch what's happening with the rushing title with James Cook, and everybody wants it for him, for the organization. It's a big deal. What was that like for you guys on Sunday, whether it's just at you as a coach or with your coaches and texting people or other people, and then, of course, with James himself and knowing he ultimately gets the rushing title?
Yeah, great situation. You know, it got a little bit close there, especially in the first half when Derrick Henry had 100-plus yards. But, you know, overall, hey, man, you got to do what's best for the team. We tried to do that. And also then James, secondly, and, you know, it worked out. So we were able to get him fresh, but also help him get the rushing title. So we're extremely proud of him, and it's great for the organization as well.
And then you had another title yardage winner this year, and that is Ray Davis. He actually wound up leading the league in average yards per kick return, the only player in the whole league over 30 yards a kick return. I don't think a lot of us saw this coming, Coach. How has Ray kind of been unlocked as a kick returner this year?
Well, I give him credit, but also, you know, the whole unit that he's working with, you know, the kickoff return unit and the blocks and the schemes that Coach Tabor and Coach West have put together. You know, it's as you know as well as I do, it's a new play in the league this year, and so there's been a lot of growth and a lot of evolving going on with that play in itself. So extremely proud of Ray, extremely proud of the coaching staff and what they've done with it.
And then obviously you get to this week, you're preparing for the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know who you're playing, you get there on Monday to start preparations. I know everybody says the same thing. You got to kind of stay with your routine. Like Greg Rousseau said, you can't really focus on something different or do something different. But that being said, how do you kind of treat it with players to make sure that doesn't happen? Because everybody knows that if you win, you go on. If you lose, your season's over. So how do you make sure that you don't make it maybe bigger than it is, but keep everything the same, knowing what the stakes are?
Well, I think that's the obvious. You know, people know what the stakes are. The best thing we can do is be consistent in terms of the players and their routines, our routines. But also not shortchange the process, right? It is a game where we have to win in order to advance, and we've got to play a good, solid football game on all three phases here.
All right, Coach, let's get to the Barnes Firm Injury Report, of course, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. You have a lengthy report, a few guys you got back, a couple guys you got back to practice yesterday, but got a couple guys still who have not practiced this week. Is there anybody you know you're declaring out who will not play on Sunday?
At this point, Max Harrison will be out. DeMar Hamlin will be out. As you know, we just opened up DeMar's window coming off of IR, so he won't be ready to come back this week. We'll monitor that as we move forward here.
Okay, you have a few other guys.
And then I would just add Terrell Bernard as well. Sorry.
Oh, so that's okay. So Terrell Bernard is out for the game as well, Coach?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you had a couple other guys. You had one other, Ty Johnson, who has not practiced for a couple of days. What's his status for today and maybe the game?
Yeah, we're going to look at him today, take a hard look at him today, see how he does, and we'll know more after practice.
Same situation with Joshua Palmer, 2 days of a DNP?
He will not practice today. We'll see where he goes for the game. He'll be listed as questionable for the game.
Okay, and then what about Matt Prater, Coach? How did you feel that he came out of yesterday? He was a full participant, but obviously he's been dealing with the quad injury. Where does his status stand right now?
He will not practice either today, which is not, unusual for a kicker. Mm-hmm. Thought he did some good things yesterday, and we'll see where he and how he trends heading into the weekend here.
I don't want to go too far into strategy. I understand all that, but you obviously have to make some decisions by maybe 4 p.m. tomorrow. Is that all the things that you're balancing right now on your plate when it comes to Prater and the elevations and the roster and all that, how that's got to work basically this weekend?
Yeah, there's multiple things right now we're trying to balance, and we've dealt with a lot of injuries most of the year, so really nothing new, to be honest with you, in terms of having to balance some of those things through the weekend and kind of some last-minute decisions here. But we're on top of it. Players are putting money in the bank this week or this practice today, and mm-hmm. as we prepare to get ourselves ready to go down there.
Speaking of balancing, Coach, there's a report this morning that Joe Brady is a candidate to be interviewed by the Baltimore Ravens, or at least permission has been requested for their head coaching job. And you've been down this road before. You yourself were in this situation. We've asked you over the years when you have a coach in that situation, how do you approach it as a head coach? What's your messaging to either that particular coach or how you treat the week?
Well, you're happy for him. There's only so many opportunities out there, and we've had success on the offensive side, and Joe's been a big proponent and reason why. And, you just look at it, and so you're happy when someone gets acknowledged for the job that they've done, and you want the best for him and his family. All that being said, we try and make it very clear that our focus needs to be with this team and this situation and the moments we're in this weekend here. So Joe's done a great job of that in the last couple of years since he's been interviewing, and we expect the same moving forward.
Jacksonville Jaguars, Sunday at 1 p.m., Coach. A team that you've played each of the last 2 years, but much different, really. A new head coach, a new coaching staff, basically, and the way they're playing right now, arguably playing some of the best football in the National Football League. What do you see from them, especially maybe over the last 2 months, 8 weeks?
Yeah, you hit it. I mean, they made the trade for Newsom, the corner. They made a trade for Jacoby Myers, and it's paid off for them. I believe they're 7-1 since the trade. And Myers and Newsom have had huge impacts on their team, and they're definitely a team that's in rhythm right now, and we're going to have to play a really good and sound football game to beat them.
And then, of course, it's in Jacksonville, and we know the last time you were down there in 17, lots of Bills Mafia showed up. When you go to Carolina, Atlanta, the Southeast, of course, everywhere, Bills fans show up. But how cool is it to know that you're going to have a very big contingent of Bills fans on hand? I know that for sure, Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, that's always great to know. We've got great support, unlike any team in my mind in professional sports overall. So we're very thankful for that and look forward to seeing them down there.
All right, Coach, have a good practice today. Safe travels to Jacksonville, and we'll talk to you next week before your next playoff game on Friday. So thanks a lot.
Sounds great. Have a great weekend, everyone.
All right, you too. That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott on the West Her Hotline. They have a lot of decisions to make on the roster. They have to start balancing what to do with the Matt Prater situation, Matthew Wright. They have to start balancing what to do with Ty Johnson as of today, the practice today. I like what he said. Get money in the bank today at practice. Find out what happens today. Then they can go from there, right? Then we can see exactly who's going to be available, who's not. We do know Max Harrison is out. Damar Hamlin is out. He isn't on the active roster anyway, but you have to declare him because he's got his IR window opened. And Terrell Bernard is out. That means that Shaq Thompson, who's been limited with the neck injury, will start again at middle linebacker. No surprise there. But that also tells you that maybe they might have to use one of those elevations on either Keontae Jenkins or Bealen Specter. So we'll see where that goes. That is the injury report headed into Jacksonville. And as I said, hopefully we get another one next Friday as the Bills will either play, either, we know this, if they win, they'll play either at Denver or at the winner of Steelers-Texans. That's how it's got to work. They cannot play the Patriots. They cannot play the Chargers. Those are the two other teams. Bills can't play either of those teams in round 2. You hope they're playing.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron.
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
In round 2, we'll see where it goes. Let's get to our weather check for all those Bills fans going down to Jacksonville and you watching at home, of course, wondering, you know what? Is weather going to play a role in this game? Our guy Pat Hammer has the answer.
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist Patrick Hammer joins me on the West Her Hotline. Bills at Jags Sunday at 1 p.m. Now, listen, selfishly, I'm sure you know this. When I'm looking at all the possibilities, yeah, I'm thinking of matchups for the Bills. I'm also thinking about weather and how nice it would be to get to Florida in January for a game like this. And this is what it is, right? It's way different. What did we say last week? Denver versus New England versus Pittsburgh all have different weather. Well, this was the best case scenario weather-wise, I would guess, Pat.
Yeah, weather-wise, 100%. Now, when you get there, by the way, it's going to be, you know, postcard Florida weather in terms of temperature. It's, you know, like 80s up until, of course, Sunday when temperatures come down. I do have my eyes, though, if we move forward. Let me change that. We are going to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
If the game is in Denver, I can't recall the last time the Bills have played there, but it's a totally different animal because they're 5,000 feet up, you know, and the altitude does have an impact.
Yeah, and obviously it's something you have to prepare for, and it could be at any time of the year you could get a snowstorm there, it seems like, because it's so high up.
Right.
I mean, it just seems like that with that. Next week, obviously, if the Bills do advance, you could have another really kind of difference. It could go to Houston. It's a dome, right? But it's Houston, and fans could go there. Or you could go to Pittsburgh, right? I mean, which could be a way totally different scenario. So we'll cross that bridge when we come to it next week, and we'll think about, you know, that. But hopefully you're right. In the meantime, Jacksonville, 80 degrees when we land on Saturday. You said the temperature's going to drop. What are we looking at game time and through the game Sunday starting at 1 p.m.?
All right, so starting, first of all, the day is going to be fine weather-wise. It's going to be a little cloudy. There is a slim chance of a little shower. The front, by the way, that's bringing us the rain today and the 60-mile-an-hour winds we're about to have, by the way, that same front is going to cross through Jacksonville on Saturday night into Sunday morning. by the time it's there, it's going to be nothing like it is here. But there is a slim chance of a little shower. But it's that front that's going to bring temperatures down. 80s today when you land tomorrow. Game time temperature, probably around 67, 68 degrees. A lot of cloud cover, but that's fine. And the temperature kind of holding steady. That same front will kick up a bit of a breeze. Okay, there's going to be a northwest wind. I'm not really sure how wind swirls at that stadium. You probably know better than I do. But a little bit of a northwest wind between 15 and 20 miles an hour in during the game. So that's the one thing, you know, we're kind of eyeing. Otherwise, it looks like just ideal weather temperature-wise and no sun glare, no shadows to worry about, right?
No.
With the clouds. That was a thing. What game was it recently? Was it Cleveland?
Cleveland, right? In Cleveland. And there was a pass where Dawson Knox dropped the pass, but that wasn't the reason. Yeah. But people thought it might have been because you're right. The glare was really bad in that game, and there were some plays right there where that might have been something that impacted it. There are a lot of people flying down today to Jacksonville, and here in Buffalo, we know we have a wind advisory. What's going on here in Buffalo? How might it at all impact any travel for anyone?
Okay, first of all, it's now a high wind warning, okay?
And it, thank you.
It begins at 1 o'clock, and that's okay. It was upgraded this morning because the wind is expected to gust to near 60, maybe even 65 miles an hour, okay? Now, does that mean at your house or at your office you're going to see wind like that? It's pretty, you know, if you're protected by trees, you may not experience that kind of strong wind, but many areas will. And it could cause some flight delays this afternoon and tonight. The strongest winds, it's going to be kind of a narrow window between about 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. The wind is going to be maybe a little less than it was a week ago. If you remember, we had that windstorm when winds were hurricane force. This is the windiest place on Earth sometimes, I feel. And the wind is really going to begin picking up again later today. So flight delays are possible. Having said that, in about an hour or two, you may see the sun and go, oh, the storm has passed. It's the sun, believe it or not, that's going to help bring that wind here. It's a long story, but I'll explain that later. But we will have a very windy afternoon and evening.
What about into next week? We have the wind today here. Hopefully a win. You have wind here with a D today. And then hopefully the win on Sunday in Jacksonville. And then what are we looking at as January rolls on here in Western New York?
I want to quickly just mention one thing. If you are traveling to Jacksonville today and you are flying, you've got that. If you are driving, it's pretty much going to rain the entire way.
Okay.
And I mean that because the rain extends from here all the way to New Orleans. Okay. That front is moving east slowly. So if you were to leave, let's say this afternoon or tonight, I mean, you know, it might slow you down a bit, but it's going to be a very rainy drive, like across 10 states on your way down.
Okay, good.
In terms of next week, okay, so tomorrow we have another day of rain, unfortunately. Rain in January to me is just a bummer, but it can happen. We're going to see that in the afternoon. So wet weather tomorrow afternoon. Sunday, the cold comes back, snow showers. When you land at the airport Sunday night, Sal, with the victory, I hope. It might be snowing. It's certainly going to be cold, so prepare for that when you land on Sunday afternoon and evening. And then next week, it starts off kind of typical January 30s, but a deep plunge into winter weather is going to return Thursday, Friday, and into next week, which means next weekend, rather, if there is a game. You said there's a possibility of Pittsburgh, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That could be a weather game.
Also tell you this, because I just understand generally how the NFL runs its schedule and how they do these things with teams and, you know, the days in between games, I would say this: if the Bills win and they go to Denver, I think that game will be Saturday in Denver. If the Bills win and they have to go to Houston or Pittsburgh, I think that game will be Sunday.
I will say this, just looking ahead to Denver, it's been an incredibly warm winter out there, by the way. It's barely snowed, just a little bit. It certainly looks a lot colder for a weekend game next weekend in Denver. Pittsburgh, though, potentially looks snowy. a week from if the game was, especially if the game were to be on Sunday next week.
I can't imagine.
It's way out there, but
I can't imagine the NFL would make Pittsburgh if they were to win play Monday or play Monday to Saturday. So almost definitely, if they win, they're going to play Sunday. You know what I mean? That's what would happen.
Right.
So that's why that game would most likely be on a Sunday. Yeah, I mean, like, there's a lot of changes obviously going on. Here's a question for you I want to ask. What is the weather here this Sunday at 1 p.m.? Let's just say the Bills had actually gotten a home game here in Jacksonville. It was reversed, right? Because I go on Jacksonville radio, and I got some buddies down in Jacksonville. They're like, man, I'm so glad the game's here and not in Buffalo. We didn't want to go up to Buffalo in January. I'm like, you know what? What if that were the case? What would be the weather?
We did a thing with our sister station in Jacksonville, television-wise, and they kind of asked the same thing.
Yeah.
By the way, their fan, the way they were talking, it's like they were even talking about how Bill's Mafia is expected to take over the stadium. It's just funny how they said that. But
100%. I spoke with somebody on Jacksonville radio this week who said they're expecting, as of right now, the people he talked to is expecting at least 15 to 20,000 Bills fans. I think it could be more than that.
Yeah, the television station there said the same thing. Yep. Anyway, if the game were to have been here, likely would have been some snow showers. Nothing too terribly heavy. But on Sunday at 1 o'clock, probably about 34 degrees, 33 degrees, and a pretty good chance of snow. Not a snow game like a couple years ago, but snow would have been falling. So maybe it would have been like the game against San Francisco last year.
All right. Thank you very much, buddy. I look forward to next Friday. We're going to do another Buffalo Football Friday with a weather check next week.
Yes, we are. And we're talking Denver or Pittsburgh, like you said.
Or Houston.
Or Houston. Okay, so two out of three could offer some weather challenges for sure. But, weather looks pretty good, though, for this Sunday.
All right, thanks a lot, buddy. Have a great weekend. Enjoy it, all right? We'll talk next week.
All right, good travels, Sal.
Thank you very much. Pat Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. Okay. Couple other things that Sean McDermott is talking about with the rest of the local media when he's done on the Extra Point Show. He meets with the rest of the media every Friday. Got a couple of notes we'll get to, including on Dalton Kincaid, Shaq Thompson, what he said about them. We'll do that when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show and touch on the rest of the Wild Card Weekend schedule.